Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and, of course, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly.
I'd like to talk about three movies this week, one of which is a fictional film, although it is very realistic in so many ways, and the other two are documentaries, although one of those is kind of a concert film plus documentary. But I'd like to start with Law of Tehran, which is a new movie, as the title might suggest, from Iran. And it is written and directed by Saeed Roustayi. And it's an amazing film. It's one of the very, very best films I've seen all year so far. Iranian film is has a fascinating history over just even recent decades, because there's a lot of censorship of Iranian films, official censorship in Iran. A number of very brilliant Iranian filmmakers, Abbas Kiarostami and Majid Majidi and Mustafa Mahmoudov and a few others, have established a tradition of making films about subjects that couldn't really offend anybody. They made a lot of films about children, for example. And this is just part of what went on, but it was a very important part of Iranian filmmaking. The subjects tended to be very humanistic, and the subjects tended to be non-controversial. This movie is very different. This movie is as raw and gritty as can be. It is basically about a police officer and a drug dealer. And the police officer's name is Samad, and the drug dealer's name is Nasser. And there's a lot of other characters, but those are the main two ones. And much of the film deals with Samad, the police officer, chasing about after the drug dealer, Nasser, and trying to get a hold of him and trying to bust his operation and so forth and so on. But all kinds of things happen along the way. For one thing, at a certain point during the film, Nasser does get arrested. And then we have a lot of scenes that take place in the jail, in the holding pens, in the prison, and all of that. Other parts of the film deal with kind of a backstory. Samad has been in trouble with his own police force, and that's playing a part in how he is carrying out all of these activities and so forth. It is very much, and this occurred to me, I reside in Baltimore these days, and it reminded me very much of a TV series made in my own city, which was The Wire. This is so much like an Iranian version of The Wire. It really amused me in that respect. It's got the dope dealers. It's got the sort of scruffy sidewalk personalities. It's got the cops, certainly plenty of those. And it's done. It's just as good as The Wire as a piece of filmmaking. It's really, really solid stuff. Very, very, as I said, raw and gritty and realistic. It begins with a chase scene. There is a low-level drug dealer, and he is fleeing one of the cops who is chasing him frantically. And it's a terrific chase sequence. And it's just amazingly edited and suspenseful. And at one point, the dope dealer throws away his dope, and the cop manages to get a hold of it, and that plays a big part in the later part of the story. But then, I'm not going to tell how this comes out. This is just the very beginning of the movie, and something happens, which is a twist, which is so unexpected and so very dark. And you just know right away, this movie is probably going to be a pretty strong piece of work, and it just continues on that level all the way down. For a while, I felt there was a bit much of the police officer, Samad. He really seems to be right in the middle of everything, and he's a very take charge, take control guy, and I got a little tired of him after a while, but then the focus changes over to the main drug dealer, Nasser, and to his imprisonment and so forth. And then we have all these scenes that take place in the jail. It's not really the prison, it's the jail. And we see the people who are there, and we see the conditions, which are, by the way, as you might expect, appalling, the way people are kept, even people who have not been convicted of anything. Of course, a lot of that goes on in America too, I regret to say. So there's a whole lot of very raw footage of that. And again, it's a fictional movie, and it's got a very, very carefully written and cleverly constructed story, but it just rings of truth, rings of reality, rings of the real world all the way through. It's just awfully well done. The director, the writer-director, has coked just terrific performances from the cast, all of them. There are a few women in the movie, but it's almost entirely a male scene that we're dealing with in it. But all of the acting is just terrific. The filmmaking, the camera style, the editing is very, very tight and gripping. Movie's over 2 hours long, and it just seemed to zip by. I was just fascinated with it every bit of the way. So if you're interested in The Wire, or if you happen to be one of the people interested in Iranian film, this is a movie not to miss. But if you just want to see a good, powerful drama of the streets and sidewalks and the cops and the crooks, this is a movie to see, Law of Tehran. It is streaming. It is easy to get a hold of. And it's one of the very best movies I've seen so far this year. By the way, it's about 4 years old. It was made a while ago, but it's in distribution in the United States now. And I highly recommend it. Law of Tehran. Good picture. And now to turn to our documentaries for today. The first one is called Personality Crisis, One Night Only. And it was co-directed by Martin Scorsese and David Tedeschi. Of course, Marty Scorsese is one of the great American filmmakers, one of the great world filmmakers, in fact. And every once in a while, he turns his talents to documentary. And in this case, he did it with a co-director. And it is all about David Johansen, the songwriter, singer, musician, David Johansen, also known by his alter ego name, Buster Poindexter. And we have him doing a set at the famous Cafe Carlyle just before the COVID epidemic broke out back in January of 2020. And so there he is at the Cafe Carlyle, and I've been there. It's a wonderful place, and it's a very classy place, very high-end, elegant kind of a place. I don't expect, I remember seeing Bobby Short there when I lived in New York. David Johansen, Buster Poindexter, is not that sophisticated an artist. But, you know, he's pretty sophisticated in the set he does at the Cafe Carlyle in this movie. He does a whole lot of just real sort of good tunes with interesting lyrics, and it's good stuff. It's not the kind of sort of, he was one of the founders, David Johansen was, of the punk scene many years ago. And this is very, very different from that style. He's been in punk, he's been in new wave, he's been in rock for a long, long time. And here there's a little bit of the rock stuff, but mainly it's more sort of songbook type stuff that he sings during this. And of course, there's a lot of patter. He talks a lot between his songs. And very importantly, the movie cuts away from the Cafe Carlyle with some frequency. And we just see video clips and film clips from Johansen's career. We see him in the present day talking about his career, talking about his memories and all of that. And we see clips, film and video clips from his work in bygone eras. So we get a little bit of a sense of the history of David Johansen. And we get a sense very much of how he goes about his career now and what he thinks about his whole career. And there are some little glimpses of some of his colleagues and friends and people who have been along with him on his life's journey and all of that. I have to say, this movie is well over 2 hours long, and I didn't find it pleasant to look at David Johansen for that long. He has this great, big, ridiculous pompadour hairstyle, and I just find him not all that sightly a celebrity. And I enjoyed his singing and his chit-chatting much more than I enjoyed actually the way he presents himself visually these days. But again, he does a nice set. He's got a small backup combo who did a nice job of accompanying him. We don't get much of a sense of their personalities except from watching them play and hearing what they play. But they're a good backup group, and it's fun to watch them and listen to them. But mainly the focus is entirely on David Johansen, a.k.a. Buster Poindexter. At one point, the proprietor of the Cafe Carlyle comes up and congratulates him and greets him, and it's his birthday. That is, it's David Johansen's birthday, and he gets a big birthday cake. So that's sort of a little personal note that enters into it. But then again, this whole movie is very personal. It's a real portrait of David Johansen, a portrait of the work that he's done over the years, and of where he is right now. And he certainly has outgrown the punk. He certainly has outgrown the new wave. To a large extent, he's even outgrown the rock and roll. He now does this more sort of cabaret type stuff. And this is basically a kind of a cabaret act with a little backup group. But it's fun to watch. It's engaging. It's personable. I'm not a big David Johansen fan. I've never really followed him. But I had a good time spending more than 2 hours in his presence in this movie. And again, I'll keep up with pretty much anything that Martin Scorsese does. And he has done a very nice job of co-directing this with David Tedeschi. Marty Scorsese, by the way, has done pop music documentaries before, long ones. I did a couple about Bob Dylan. The original one is called No Direction Home. He did one on the former Beatle, George Harrison, called Living in the Material World. So Scorsese has been down this road before, and he knows how to do it. He does a nice job of it. So again, a rare excursion of into documentary by Scorsese, who does this from time to time. Did one of Fran Lebowitz not that long ago as well. Again, he knows what he's doing. He's a fine filmmaker. We know we're in good hands with him and David Tedeschi, and we're in pretty good hands with David Johansen. An interesting, largely concert show, but somewhat documentary look at his career and his present life, and I just found it all pretty engaging. And our next documentary, oh, this could not be more different. De Humani Corporis Fabrica. Now, there is a title for you. And obviously, the people who made this movie mean business. The title means, of course, it's Latin, and it means on the fabric of the human body. And the title is borrowed from a Renaissance work book on human anatomy. And that is exactly what this movie is about. De Humani Corporis Fabrica is a look at, and I mean a really close look at, human anatomy in very, very intimate ways that modern technology make possible. So know right now that if you don't want to really see a whole lot of literal blood and guts and nerves and sinews and tissues and all other parts of the human body in exceedingly large close-up, if you don't want to see that, then don't go to this movie. But I found it absolutely fascinating. It's made by the team of Verena Paravel and Lucienne Castang-Taylor. And again, they have been down this road before. They are very closely affiliated with the Sensory Ethnography Lab at Harvard University. And that is an institution within Harvard which devotes itself to unconventional new approaches, new directions in documentary filmmaking. And like one of their very first films called Leviathan, they set up their cameras on a fishing vessel at sea, and that's what you have for the entire length of that feature film. You have just what it's like to be on the deck of this fishing vessel in the middle of the ocean doing its work with all kinds of seas and storms and winds and everything all around. And that is just it. You just watch that. You are just there via this movie, and it is a fascinating experience. De Humani Corporis Fabrica is different from that. In that, here again, we have very, very high technology at work. The movie was filmed in a number of French hospitals, and what we have is mainly surgeons going about their work. And we get to watch them and listen to them talk and listen to them while they do their surgery and so forth and so on. But we also, through a great deal of the film, look through their visual instruments. So we are looking through their little laparoscopy devices and their microscopes and all the things that they thread deeply into the human body to look at parts, to find out what's going on in those parts, or to do surgery with those parts with other very intricate, very miniaturized bits of technology. And the movie looks through those devices, and we see into the human body, and we also see the surfaces of the human body and the surfaces of the various things within the human body. And that is what the entire movie is about. Sometimes it's kind of funny when we hear some of the physicians talking about, oh, I didn't think that was going to happen. Good Lord, what are we going to do now? Yeah, okay, that's funny, and it's funny in kind of a harrowing way. But it lends, again, some more humanity to this movie, which is actually all about humanity. And there are some just marvelous kind of images that tissue samples laid on slides, for example, that look quite remarkable. So, you know, if, like me, you are not a biology major and you are not a practicing physician, a lot of this stuff is going to seem kind of mysterious in terms of what actually is going on, in terms of the details. But as a visual experience, and that is my department, as a cinematic experience, in fact, as an audio-visual experience, it is absolutely phenomenal. It's a terrific, terrific, terrific spectacle, a phantasmagoria of very, very real things. Way back in the early 1970s, the very great American avant-garde filmmaker Stan Brakhage made a movie in an autopsy room, and it was called, its title came from the translation of the word autopsy, the act of seeing with one's own eyes. This movie is like an expanded movie, and that was a silent film. This is like an expanded and sound film version of some of the things that Brakhage did in that avant-garde classic. I guess this is also an avant-garde film. It certainly is very experimental, but again, as a cinematic spectacle, it is absolutely riveting and fantastic, and it's just quite a show. I recommend it very highly if you can take all those blood and guts and sinews and tissues and things like that. So that is my semi-documentary story this week.
For which we thank you forever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus.